Look at this stage. This is marvellous. I can walk around and shout and all kinds of good things. What are we expecting? Normality? I'm a Christian. There's no norm. Who's pinching your Bible? There's no normality. You are an extraordinary people. The moment you give your life to Jesus, the moment you get born again, you become a peculiar people, the Bible says. Oh, there's a few people are thrilled to be with that. A peculiar people, the Bible says, not normal, not of this world. You are no longer of this world. You are of the kingdom. You used to be Africans and Englishmen and Irishmen and all kinds of things. Now you're kingdom. Amen. One amen and two nods. Okay, I'm going to have to educate you a little bit in Pentecostalism. Repeat after me, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's try that again. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In any order, at any time, you're allowed to shout out, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Shall we try it again? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, you're doing well.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, no. Now then. God's a good God.
Amen. All the time.
Now, sometimes we don't believe that. Sometimes we think he's good sometimes. He's good if I've been good. But if I've been bad, God's not a good God. We sometimes think he's in heaven with a big checkboard. We used to have chalkboards. We have whiteboards now. And now we don't even have them. We're electronic gadgets. But God's in heaven with a chalkboard watching you. Good. Bad. Bad. Very bad. But you see, something happened 2,000 years ago at Calvary. Your sins, my sins, were paid for.
Oh, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, we'll try that again. 2,000 years ago, your sins and my sins were paid for once and for all, past, present, and future sins.
Amen.
Now, You see, with Jesus, what happened? Jesus, I'll get to this in a bit. Jesus took that board that used to be, because we used to have things counted against us. We know that because the Jewish people, which we are now grafted into, well, I'll not preach on that. It's another preach. You're going to have to teach on that one. The Jewish people, which we are now Christians are grafted into, they had to sacrifice things like pigeons and doves and all kinds of things, red heifers, whatever, I can't remember now. But it made a mess at the altar. Now we've stopped doing that because it makes a mess of the carpet. We don't do that. You see, there was one final sacrificial lamb, Jesus. And when Jesus was sacrificed for us, and not just sacrificed, 3 days later he came back. Everybody happy with that? Yeah, amen. You're preaching good stuff. They're smiling. So Jesus died on the cross. 3 days later, came back. While he was there, he took the chalkboard with your name on it and completely eradicated it and threw it away. And it's now, he didn't just clean it. He didn't just wipe the slate clean. Oh no, it's better than that. He didn't just wipe the slate clean with all your sins on it. Ooh. He took the board and threw it in the sea. Cannot be, unless you want to go fishing for it, it cannot ever, ever, ever be remembered. God chooses to forget your sin and my sin. It's gone, finished, done with. And also your future sins. Oh, am I going to sin in the future? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You remember that little, oh, yes. Are you going to sin in the future? Yes. Oh, is that sin already forgiven? Yes. Do you have to repent of it? Yes. Do you have to go on your knees sometimes and say, Lord, I got it wrong? God says, yes, I know, but I choose to forgive you.
You're getting there.
Pentecostalism hasn't quite got through the door into here yet. But try it again. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's what you need to do. Okay, hopefully I can bring a word today that will encourage and help and assist. So I'm going to start with a couple of quotes from Tozer. Who knows A.W. Tozer? Quite a good Christian, seems to know his stuff. This book is called The Knowledge of the Holy. Clink, clink. This is my second copy because I wore the other one out. And it's about the attributes of God. Except, he explains at the beginning, God is beyond our explanation of the attributes of God. So the best we can do is not good enough. But he says here, true religion confronts earth with heaven and brings eternity to bear upon time. The messenger of Christ, put your hands up, messenger of Christ, you're included. The messenger of Christ, though he speaks from God, must also, as the Quakers used to say, speak to the condition of his hearers. To speak to the condition of his hearers. Otherwise, he will speak a language known only to himself. Oh, the Christian religious language. How we have trained people to say things that only Christians can understand. Travailing in the Spirit. Redemption. Sacrificial, this, that, and the other. Well, my daughter was working at Butlins or Pontins some years ago, and a lot of Christians met there, and there were the waitresses and waiters and the servants were coming into the conference room afterwards saying, them Christians, they're talking about sacrificing lambs. And my daughter, who knew the gospel, says, no, Jesus was the final sacrifice. But you've got to speak a language that the people around you can understand. Amen?
Amen.
I'm hoping today I'm going to speak a language you can understand. Amen? And so is the pastor, hoping I speak a language. Now, we can sometimes speak in tongues. I mean, I don't know how many of you speak in new languages. We can speak in them, and that's between you and God. I'm speaking to God. Nobody else understands. Unless you have a word in tongues and somebody can interpret. I'm not going to teach. I'm not going to preach to the converted on that one. But if I have you, you'll all be like, what's he say? So I have to speak in English. Lancashire. You may have noticed by now, I have a slight Lancashire accent. Just a trace of one.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When viewed from the perspective of eternity, the most critical need of this hour may well be that the church should be brought back from her long Babylonian captivity and the name of God be glorified in her again as of old. Yet we must not think of the church as an anonymous body, some mystical religious abstraction. We, Christians, are the church. Whatever we do is what the church is doing. The matter, therefore, is for each of us a personal one. Any forward step in the church must begin with the individual. What can we plain Christians do to bring back the departed glory? Is there some secret we may learn? Is there a formula for personal revival? 15 steps to this or whatever. The answer to this question is actually yes, but it may disappoint some people. It is not some mystic code to be painfully deciphered, nor hidden law of the unconscious. The secret is an open one, which the wayfaring man may read. And it is this, simply an old and ever new counsel. Acquaint thyself with God. That will bring back the glory that's been departed. I don't want to pick on any particular groups of people, but I struggle with the uniforms of certain members of the religious community, with the silly hats and the sticks in their hand. It's paganism, and it's been brought into Christianity, and it shouldn't be here. Christianity is the joy that went on in this room a few minutes ago, the laughter and the people coming in. Let's bring one lad in to give him happy birthday. The whole lot turned up, the whole tribe came in, and there was chaos. That's church, is a happy chaos. Amen. What can you do to bring back the departed glory? You as an individual. By the way, I'm talking to every individual in this room. So when I'm speaking, don't think that's for her. Well, that's a good word for him. What you have to do today, you have to be a pitchfork Christian. That word's for him, and that word's for her. What you've got to do, you've got to draw it to yourself. Get hold of a rake this morning and pull the word in for yourself and say, whatever's being said today is for me. And I'm going to learn something from God through this Lancashire preacher.
Amen.
It's a bit tall now. Turn with me, please. Let's go into the Word of God. Is that a good place to start? Have you not started yet, Bob? No, I haven't started yet. Would somebody please be good enough to get me a glass of water? Somebody ran henceforth. And Genesis 22. Are we all there? Genesis 20. Don't put it up on that for me, please. It distracts if you put it up on there. Just thank you very much. People keep looking and looking for it to change. Genesis 22. God tested Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, that's an interesting test. God was saying, is he listening? Abraham said, here I am. And God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Well, that's a happy thing to start with, Bob, isn't it? That brings a lot of joy this morning, sacrificing your own children. Early next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, took with him some servants and his son, and some wood for the burnt offering and some fire. They used to carry fire in a little thing. Oh, here cometh the water. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Raise them on Robinson's. Okay. Is it safe on here? Oh, it's an altar maybe. I didn't know. I spoil the altar. Now then. So they text the ward, they took the son, they took some servants, they took the donkey, and off he went. And then after a while he said, stay here with the donkey. He talked to his servants. You stay with the donkey. I and the boy, we're going to go over there. We will worship. Then we will come back to you. God said, sacrifice your son. Abraham said, we're going to go and we will come back to you. He must have believed that even if he sacrificed his son, God would give him back. He must have had great faith. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Abraham took the wood and the burnt. Oh, I like this. Abraham then takes the wood off the donkey and puts it on his son. Anyway, we're not going to that one. Isaac spoke up, he said, Father?
Yes, my son?
I can see the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. He's still thinking of sacrificing his son. When they reached the place, God had told them about Abraham, built the altar, arranged the wood, bound his son, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But, what a wonderful, opportune word. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham. He didn't say, Abraham. Abraham. Abraham, Abraham. Abraham says, hold on a bit, I'm busy. Just leave me alone, I've got something to do here. Are you listening? You see, there was a moment, by the way, if you know the rest of the story, he didn't sacrifice his son. They found a ram caught up in a thicket, which was behind him all the time. I don't think it was behind him all the time. I think God had just dropped it there. But we'll not go into that. He didn't sacrifice his son. They found a ram. They sacrificed the ram, and they all returned home. As Abraham said would happen, we will return. What if Abraham had heard from God the first time, but not the second time? Oh. There'd be no Isaac, then there'd be no
Jacob.
No Jacob. And no line all the way down to Jesus' earthly dad. Uh-oh. We have a problem here. Except God must have known what was going on, but the test is this. Are you hearing what God's saying to you today, or are you acting what God told you to do last year, last week, last month, 20 years ago, 40 years ago? Are you behaving the way God's told you to behave 20 years ago, but not changing your attitude today? Are your actions today based on what God said to you 20 years ago? I am not condemning. What I'm doing, I'm just throwing a little bit of a hand grenade in here. It's a gentle hand grenade. We don't like to hurt people. I want you to catch. Am I acting on what God told me to act on years ago, or am I acting on the word of God for today? Today. Bible says if you resist the enemy, he shall flee from you. But sometimes you need to turn to somebody and say, will you pray with me? I'm struggling. Never ever give him opportunity to have victory in your life again. Never allow it. Turn to somebody and say, pray with me. I'm under attack. And the two of you together, you'll chase 1,000? No, 10,000. One can chase 1,000. Two together chase 10,000. Never again allow the enemy to take you out of a meeting. What I say to you is just turn to somebody, get somebody's hand and say, pray with me. But there's already happened. There's some one or two words came from one or two people. And I saw it when I stood with you. And then I came to sit down because it wasn't my job to pray for you. It was your brothers and sisters. I saw a hedge of protection around you. The hedge of protection is both the Holy Spirit and your brothers and sisters. Be encouraged in that. If ever that enemy turns up again, you say, wait a minute, I'm not having that. No, saith I. Because I've got my brothers and sisters with me. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, you will win next time. Praise God. The enemy does come. He comes at you. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy you. And Jesus already is the victory. Jesus is already the victory. Hallelujah. Are you hearing God for yourself today? Are you hearing the prophetic words that God's speaking to you today? Or are you acting on a word you heard 20 years ago? It's gone quiet. These little cogs, I can hear them going around. God loves us. He thinks we're fantastic. He wants the best for us. And you're having parties at Christmas, all kinds of. Let me tell you, there's a party going on in heaven at this moment, the like of which you can never comprehend while your brain's still on earth. The rejoicing that's going on in heaven, the praising for one sinner saved, the great rejoicing going on. But there's a party going on in heaven, and in one of the Psalms it says that the Lord lays out a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. By the way, yea, though I walk through the valley, please don't pitch your tent in the valley. Walk through the valley. Keep going when the enemy comes at you. Keep going when the enemy tries to get at your finance. Keep going. Keep believing. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep believing. My God's a healing God. I'm going to keep believing that my God's a healing God, even when things in my body don't seem to be working the way they should do. I'm going to keep believing my God's a healing God. My God's a God of restoration. I'm going to keep believing that, even though I have differences of opinion with certain people, I'm going to believe God's going to restore that relationship. Amen?
Amen.
And I have the gifts of what? The gift of reconciliation. It's down to me to fix it. They spit at you, kick you, stab you in the back, and it's your job to put it right. Oh, thanks, Lord. If your brother has something against you, lay your gift down at the altar and go and put it right with your brother. If you have something wrong with you against your brother, lay your gift down at the altar and you put it right. Wait a minute. Is it not his job? No, it's your job, Bob. Yeah, but he's done it wrong to me. It's your job. But I did it wrong to it. It's your job. Doesn't matter what they've done, what they've said, what you did, what you said. I'm not asking for a show of hands. Your job is to put it right. Your job is to reconcile. I'm going to tell you something. I belong to a motorcycle ministry. I'm not in my biker gear today, although I've got my braces with the fire on them. I'm not showing you my belly, but I got my braces with the fire on them. Oh. See, I'm a biker. I have a Harley Davidson. I go around to places, Hell's Angels places, and various clubhouses of bikers, and we try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got to be very careful, because if you're not careful, you might meet him sooner than you expected to. But I get to ride Harley Davidson up and down UK and abroad, and it's fantastic. And God is a great gift from God to and I thought, I'll have that. I fancy having that. But a while ago, just about a year ago at this time, a certain set of circumstances arised. Past tense, they arised. And those circumstances put me in a problem with some brothers within that ministry. And they did things that they shouldn't have done. I responded in a way that I shouldn't have done. Now, it's not easy to go to somebody who has lied about you, done things in opposition to you, and you go to them and say, I want to apologize if I've upset you in any way and ask your forgiveness. Do you know how hard that is? Do you know how hard it is? You'll never know. You'll never know what Jesus did when he was on the cross. But when he was on the cross, nailed to that cross, he turned around and he said, Father, forgive them. Now that's a big thing. He's nailed to a cross for something he didn't do. He was an innocent man, never did anything wrong. They nailed him to a cross and he says, forgive them. Now, I don't know about you, but I do know about me. I would struggle under those circumstances, but Jesus asked the Father to forgive. Now, we don't need a show of hands because you've never been crucified, except you were with Christ on the cross. I know that, but I'm not going to go down that one. But you've never been crucified. So anything less than crucifixion, to me, it's easier to forgive. And I think some of you here today, there are people in your life you need to forgive. Oh, no, I don't. Well, she said, and he did, and it was her fault. Oh, but lay your gift down at the altar and go and put it right with your brother. I don't want to. I don't want to.
Oh, it's gone quiet again. It's gone quiet again.
I don't want to. What I want to do, I want to feel angry all the time about that person. I want to get bitter and angry about that person. I want to feel bad. I want to keep reminding myself what they did to me. Meanwhile, that person is living a perfectly normal life, enjoying things without any problem whatsoever, and all the poison that you're trying to throw at them's in you. They're living the life, they're dancing, they're riding the motorbikes, they're having fun, they're doing all that good stuff, and you, every time you see them, You see, if you don't forgive, there's a problem. This is a big problem. The Bible says this. If you don't forgive, did you realize there's something that God cannot do? There's actually something that God cannot do. It's in the Bible. If you don't forgive, God cannot forgive you. Correct translation. See, there are people in your lives, there's several people in here, and you know what I'm talking about. I could feel the uncomfortableness, and I could see the half smiles on some of your faces, and I'm thinking, I've hit something here. Hit the nail on the head. Unforgiveness brings problems, but not to the person you haven't forgiven. They're still living their lives, enjoying themselves, getting promotion at work, and that should have been my promotion. That should have been my car. I have to forgive them. I have to forgive them. Because if I don't forgive them, God, who wants to forgive me, cannot forgive me because I've put a barrier up to forgiveness. And that's a word for some people this morning. Are you hearing what God's saying today? Or are you living on what happened some years ago, weeks ago, months ago, days ago, hours ago? I don't want you to all start feeling guilty. You don't all start feeling guilty. You know, some of you are going, have I not forgiven somebody else? No, it's all right. You'll know if you haven't forgiven them. It'll be here. You won't, and here. You won't be thinking, have I? No, you'll know. And it's that person you know, and you know that you know, you need to forgive them. You need to forgive them today. Don't let this go on another day. Forgive them, Father. Now, here's some good news. This is some good news. And God revealed this to me just recently. Let me have a quick drink. So, Jesus says, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. He comes down off the cross. He spends 3 full days and 3 full nights in the tomb. Oh, that must have been fantastic. Because he preached to everybody down there. He preached to one lot in Hades and said, you lot knew right from wrong, you were unrighteous, you're staying here until judgment day, shut the door, lock the door, and no man shall open that door. He went to the other room called paradise, said, you lot, you knew what was right and wrong, you chose righteousness, follow me, and he led a procession out into the heavenly realms, because many tombs were opened in Jerusalem, and many people who had been died recently were seen alive in the streets. Oh, many tombs were opened, including Jesus's. And they all then went from this procession, he led a procession out into heavenly realms. Oh, so that place is empty. The other place is still full, and people are still dropping in it. The unrighteous ones that know right from wrong and choose unrighteousness. It's gone quiet again. And Jesus leads a procession out, doesn't he? Leads him up into heavenly realms. I'd have loved to see that. You're down at the local pub, Clifton Arms. You're down at Clifton Arms. You're going to have your carol service. Week before, you'd done a funeral for somebody. John Smith. I hope there's no John Smith recently died. I'm just using that name. So you've just buried John Smith. You're at Clifton Arms. You're just about ready to do a carol service, and John comes in. We've buried you. Yeah, Jesus just resurrected me. I'm going up to heaven. Hallelujah. I just started calling for a pint all the way through. Can you imagine that? And it happened all over Jerusalem. Many tombs were opened. Oh, man. But can I ask you a question? When Jesus came back from the dead, Who was the first person he met? A few mumblings. Be brave. Mary. In the garden. He didn't go back to make friends with the man with the hammer and nails. Hey, now you've got it. He did not go back to the man with the hammer and nails. He said, forgive them, but he walked away from that. There are people in your life that you need to forgive, but you don't have to be best mates with them ever again. Hello? Hello? That's released some of you, hasn't it? You see, if you're trying to be best friends with somebody that's hurt you, kicked you, spit on you, done all those things, why would you put yourself in a place to get injured again? That doesn't make sense. Now that's really, I see it on some of you. That's released two or three people here. You see, you need to forgive that person. You don't have to be the best mate. But you do need to release them. When you release them, it releases you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That were a quiet Pentecostal bit there, wasn't it? But the moment you release that person, you yourself are released. The moment you let them go, God releases you. All that forgiveness pours all over you. All those blockages suddenly open up. All those things you found you couldn't do, suddenly, oh, praise God. Because you release them. Amen?
Hallelujah.
That makes sense. One amen. Thank you. A couple of nods. I've told you. It's amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Nodding is too English. Do you love the Lord? Mm. Are you saved forever? Mm. Now, before somebody got said, you need to shout out if Jesus loves you and you love Jesus. You need to shout out. Not a sound. Not a sound. Let me ask you a question. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Has he set you free?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Where are we going? Where are we going? How much time have we got? You said 12 o'clock, didn't you? We'll get in there. Not bad timing. Listen to what God's saying to you today and stop acting on what God told you to do those years ago. Well, don't give up that, you know what I mean? But do the fresh that he's telling you to do today. Do the fresh. Do the new. Get involved with healing on the streets. Get involved with volunteering. Do you know there's 1,000 jobs available in the volunteer market here in Blackman? 1,000 easily. Now, you know when you mentioned a few years ago, Bob said something about the Holy Spirit, and you kind of went, oh, I like this. 25 years ago, we planted a church in Blackburn called the Abundant Life Church. That was planted out of two churches we planted both in Farnworth, and then in Bolton, and then into Blackburn. And we helped to plant these churches, and then I found that I was left with this one in Blackburn. They said, you look after that one in Blackburn. And we started praying. Margaret and I went up onto the rooftop car park. Be difficult now. You get run over with a bus, wouldn't you? So I went up on the rooftop car park and we said, Lord, what are we doing here in Blackman? Why us? Why me, Lord? And we started praying for Blackman. And eventually, I'll not give you the whole story with the church. It's still here 25 years later. So we've grown it and we've shrunk it. But anyway, it's still there. It's still thriving. And we're serving and we're helping and we're getting involved with what needs to get involved with. But 25 years ago, we started saying, Lord, in your Bible, it says in Luke and in Matthew that we need to pray for you to send workers out into your harvest field. The harvest is white unto... The fields, I knew it with that. Somebody else, wrong teeth in. The fields are white to harvest... Therefore, ask the Lord to send workers into the harvest field. Ask the Father to send workers into the harvest field. Ask the Father to send workers into the harvest field. So we did. And they didn't turn up at our church. They established other churches. in Blackburn. And I was jealous until I realised I was getting the answer that God had answered my prayer. Send workers into the harvest field. So things like New Frontiers turn up in Darwin and then in Blackburn, and then Vineyard turns up a few years later, and then Reignite turns up. All this stuff's going on, churches, and some of the regular churches went into decline and they diminished because they were acting on what they'd heard years ago and not doing what they'd heard today. And they tried maintenance to keep the church going. And churches have been shutting down. And praise God, we're able to take over some of those buildings. And, amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
And this will grow. I declare growth upon this. More chairs will be required. The balcony, yeah, will be full. You see, we prayed for workers. We got other churches. We prayed for workers. We got organizations that need volunteers. We got the food project. We got things like the free project and CAP and all these other things that are going on in Blackburn. All these, the healing on the streets. My word, have I prayed for healing on the streets. I've been praying. Do you know my knees don't work anymore? Do you know every Christian when they get saved should be given a Bible and knee pads? I get down on my knees, that's it, I'm there forever. I've prayed and prayed and prayed for healing on the streets. Ta-da! I prayed for that building that Alistair took on. I said, Lord, that needs to be here for the kingdom of God. And I'm praying and praying and praying. And Alistair says, I'm buying that building. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, because I'm not buying it. Do you know how much it's going to cost? Do you know who has the money for it? Yes. About 6 million quid's worth, and God's got all of it. And it started coming in. So you see, are you praying now for what's happening now in Blackburn? Are you yearning for God to speak to you today? Or are you acting on what you acted years ago? Because a new church like this needs to be expecting new words from God week in and week out, day in and day out. Because if you do, if you're hungry for the word of God, and the word of God to you today is volunteer for what needs volunteering in this town. You're not your own. You don't belong to you anymore. You belong to the Lord, and the Lord's saying, I want you to get involved with things. I mean, get involved with serving this church. I mean, I love it when I come to this church. I saw people running about and doing stuff. It's good you see people wanting to serve, willing to serve. That needs to be on the streets. That needs to be with your neighbours. Now, as you can see, my wife is a good cook. I'm less than I was. I can move in this now. It's a bit like that a while ago. Some of my shirts have had to stay in the wardrobe. I'm not buying new, I'm losing weight. But you see, my wife's a good cook, so what does she do? She bakes for people. Well, that's not a great evangelistic outreach meeting, is it? Baking a cake. The face of somebody when you give them a Christmas cake is astounding. The people on the streets. Now, we don't have many homeless living on the streets in Blackburn. There are one or two that pass through. Most of them, they're in hostels. Hostels are the most unfriendly places. So our Emma opened the free project to get people somewhere to meet, and they've got computers where they can apply for jobs and all that kind of stuff. That's going on. That's one of the chief charities that we back as a church, as well as the other stuff in Myanmar and in Kenya and so on. We back church. Oh, how many of you know about this big church in Kenya? Not one hand. There's a church in Kenya, Christians, a church in Kenya with an auditorium, listen to this, the auditorium seats 3 million people. The prayer auditorium seats 1 million people. And whenever they have a conference, they fill it. Is anybody here? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 3 million people. And when they have a conference, they fill the auditorium and the prayer meeting room. A prayer room. Where's your prayer room? Here. Yeah. There. 8 people, 10 people, 1 million. Now, can you imagine if he'd not heard from God when he did hear from God? That particular church, you can get born there, go to the hospital, then to the creche, then to the school, then to the university. You don't have to leave that place till you're 25. God's doing mighty things. Are you listening to what he's saying to you today? Can you imagine if Rhino or Bonky hadn't have heard from God and he brought 100 million people into the kingdom in Africa over this last decade? Can you imagine if he hadn't heard from God? And do you know what he did 2 weeks ago? He handed the baton on to Daniel Colendi. And Daniel Colendi is now going to do twice what he did. I guarantee there'll be 200 million people coming to the kingdom under Daniel Colendi's ministry over this next decade. Come on, get excited. The church is growing phenomenal in places that we don't even hear about. And we're the Christians. We should have it on Christian news. We don't get it. A church of 3 million people. There's a church in South Korea of 1 million people. Yonggi Cho. I can never remember whether it's Paul or David. But Yonggi Cho, he changed his name, didn't he? Yonggi Cho's got a church of almost 1 million people in South Korea. By the way, there are hundreds and hundreds of churches in South Korea that are very big. What's God saying to you today? What's he saying to you today? First of all, he's saying, forgive those that need to be forgiven. I don't want a show of hands. You go to your minister. Say, I've been struggling forgiving such and such a body. You deal with that. I'm not going to take any more of your time. Mainly because I need to go back to my church and get a cup of tea. Joke. I'll have to go back anyway. I have to add money up. Trustees away. What's God saying to you today? Not just through what I'm saying, by the way. What's God saying to you? And you need to start to listen. He's speaking to you about certain issues, certain things. And he wants you to behave in certain ways. One of the ways is the prayer backup for everybody in this room. One of the ways is to pray for everybody in this room. You need to be the back of everybody else in this room. You need to be praying so hard for people that they never, ever, ever leave a meeting again. Bind the strong man. Bind him. Steal his goods. So let's just have a quick rehash. Unless you're born again, you need to be born again. Jesus said, you need to be born again. You'll not see the kingdom of heaven if you're not born again. If you're not born again, you need to be born again. I'm giving a word. Pastor, you do what you want with this, but you need to be born again. If you've never been baptized in water, you need to be baptized in water. And when you're doing it, give us a shout. I love watching baptisms. I love it. I love to drown them. There's some, by the way, you'd like to leave under a bit longer, wouldn't you? You know you're going to have trouble with them. But then you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you're speaking new languages, so that you have a power and a sense. By the way, this man that's standing before you was shy, retiring, scared. I used to be scared of speaking. I hid behind drugs for 10 years because I was scared that people could read my mind. You think that's a joke? That's not a joke. Well, my mum called, but that was another story. I was scared and I hid behind drugs. And then the Holy Spirit met me one day. I gave my heart to Jesus. Oh, he come looking for me, you know. Oh, he come looking for me. Let me tell you what he did. This is quick. I've got another minute. He come looking for me. And I'm running down this road. And he's at the end of the road and his arms are outstretched like that. And I went, oh, I'm not going that way. and I set off down another corridor. And you can imagine what some of those corridors were. I'm not going to glorify the devil by it. So I went down another corridor. At the end of that corridor, Jesus is there with his arms outstretched. I'm not going that way. I went off this way. Until I was 33, I kept running in every direction until Jesus' arms just eventually went right round me. And he said, "Come here, Bob, I love you." And he squeezed me. He squeezed the life out of me and the life into me. He filled me with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be born again, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, every day full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Finish with the preach. The end. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. If you do need me to pray for you, I will do, but I suggest you speak with your pastors about anything I've said that might have upset you.